Hello, Palmetto Hills family. We are glad to gather together. Even though we're sad we can't meet in person, we're thankful for this opportunity to share the Word of God virtually through our YouTube channel. I want to just highlight a couple of announcements as we begin. First of all, this Friday night we have our Ladies Galentine's Dinner, and the registration for that is tomorrow, February 2nd, so please register through the church-wide email tomorrow, ladies. And also this Saturday we have a men's breakfast at the church at 8:30 a.m., so men, please sign up through the church-wide email and join us on Saturday for a time of food and fellowship. We're going to begin our Joshua series this morning entitled Fear Not. And if you have a Bible, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We won't have our singing and other elements of the worship service, but we will have this sermon beginning our series in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says this: After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would add your special blessing to the reading and preaching of it, that you'd be glorified, and that you would teach us more and more what it means not to be afraid, but to trust in you. We need your help, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So every parent has had Every parent's also had the privilege and blessing of lovingly challenging our kids during, before, or after something hard. I need you to be a big girl. Head back to bed. Go back to sleep. Maybe it's the first day of school, the first day of a new job. Maybe you're dropping them off at college and you say, don't be afraid, take heart, take courage, God is with you. I'm just a phone call away. And it's not just kids. Adults get scared too, and there are times when we need the charge and the challenge from our friends and families to face our fears with courage and strength and faith and fortitude. You've probably heard this before. What is the most repeated command and encouragement in the Bible? It's some version of this: fear not, do not be afraid. Those variations appear around 365 times in the Scriptures, and the message is clear. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. The sovereign King of the universe has promised to guide us, to help us, to shepherd us, to shape us at every step and every stage of our lives. So we have, time and time again, this exhortation and encouragement. We have this challenge and comfort. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid. Both realities are at work, comfort and courage. Don't let fear and dread rule the day. Be courageous, be strong, and at the same time, I'm right here. Everything is going to be okay. The Lord is our shepherd. So how did we get here? How did we get to Joshua chapter 1? Where does Joshua fit into the redemptive story of history? Hundreds of years before Joshua 1, God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And God expands on that promise throughout Abraham's life. Your descendants will be like the stars in the heaven and the sand on the seashore. I'll give you a land. And then fast forward about 600 years, Abraham's family has grown into a nation of more than 2 million people in the most unlikely place, in the most unlikely way, as slaves in Egypt. And then God delivered them out of Egypt, you know, with His mighty hand, His outstretched arm. He gave them His law. He told them how to worship Him. He led them through the wilderness. He provided manna for them in the wilderness to eat day by day. They had their fair share of downs, ups and downs, rebellion and repentance all along the way, but God has been with them. And now, in Joshua 1, the people of God are standing on the threshold, on the cusp of a brand new chapter in their lives. It's time to enter the promised land. And this had to be exciting and wonderful and everything they'd hoped for and they'd been waiting for. And it was certainly new and scary and overwhelming and intimidating at the same time. Moses, their trusted leader, their advocate, is gone along with almost everyone who came out of Egypt. Who is going to lead us? God has been faithful to us in the past, but what's going to happen next? We, as God's people now, are not entering the promised land, but God's message to Joshua and to the people of Israel, it certainly plays in our lives now. We have fears all around us. Fears in us. Fears about the future. Fears about the past. Fears about the present. Fears about our families. We have financial fears, political fears, cultural fears, personal fears, health fears. And then you have the 24-hour news cycle and doom scrolling on social media and pundits and podcasters and influencers that are constantly doing what? They're stoking and stirring up our fears. And what are we to do? Well, we need to constantly reorient, realign, retune our lives around the truth of God. Daily, we need to be comforted with these words from God: fear not, I am with you. And daily, we need this challenge from God: fear not. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid? So let's look at this passage together. We'll see the comfort and the command, we'll see the exhortation and the encouragement, and we see it in three parts. We see the man, the mission, and the message. Who is the man that is highlighted in Joshua chapter 1? The man, drum roll please, is Joshua. It's not a mistake, it's not a surprise. Joshua has been an integral part of God's people and the story for the last 40 years. He's mentioned 27 times from Exodus through Deuteronomy. So what do we know about Joshua? What do we know about him? He is a changed man. We know about Abram's name being changed to Abraham. We know about Jacob's name being changed to Israel, but sometimes we forget that Joshua has a new name. He was originally named Hoshea, very similar to Joshua. Hoshea means that he has saved, and Joshua means that Yahweh saves. And this is an expression of the fact that he was a changed man by the grace of God. God changed people's names as an expression of His power in their lives. So Joshua was a changed man. He was a man who also had experience. He was a military leader. In Exodus 17, you remember when God's people fought the Amalekites at Rephidim, Joshua led the charge, and he also led other battles and skirmishes throughout the wilderness wanderings. He was a battle-tested leader. He was also Moses' assistant. He was Moses' protege. He was there when Moses went up on the mountain with God in Exodus 24. He was a faithful leader. He was essentially coach in waiting. He was a man who had experience. He was also a man of integrity. You remember when the spies went into the promised land and they all came back and 10 of the 12 spies brought back a bad report. They said, it is a great place, but these people are huge, they're strong, it's impossible, we can't possibly take them. But Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. It is a good land. And if the Lord is with us, He will give it to us. And then he pleaded with the people. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They're like bread to us. If the Lord is with us, we don't need to fear them. Joshua was a man of integrity. He was also a man who was chosen by God. He was commissioned as Moses' replacement in Numbers chapter 27. God told Moses explicitly, Joshua will take over when you are gone. And then his leadership is confirmed as Moses' replacement. After Moses' death, God speaks with Joshua and he confirms and he reaffirms and reinforces his leadership directly. So all that said, Joshua was clearly the man that God had trained and called and equipped and commissioned and confirmed to lead his people in this next stage and season. Fear not, Joshua, I have called you. Fear not, people, I have called Joshua. He is the man for the job. Richard Hess, a biblical commentator, says it this way, for the Christian, this background exemplifies the preparation of a leader for Christian ministry. The leader is someone who, like Joshua, has already experienced specific tasks successfully and who has demonstrated a loyalty to God's word even when that means standing out from the crowd. Such a leader who acts with independent judgment can make mistakes. However, it's important to learn from those mistakes. A leader like Joshua is someone recognized by the people of God and, more importantly, someone whom God has clearly chosen. And so Joshua is the man to lead God's people into this next season in their history and in their lives. He's also, we see from this passage, not only the man, we see the mission. The mission is outlined clearly in verse 2. Moses is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people. There is no honeymoon period. There's no, well, we'll give him a little time to get his feet under him. Moses is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. The mission isn't new. It's not a major plot twist. God's promise and command to enter the promised land has been part of the playbook for God's people for a long time. But what do we see about the mission now? Well, we see the question, when? The answer is now. It's go time. Get up, arise, go. All those are action-filled words. The land that I am giving you. It's no longer you will inherit the land at some point one day. It's now, present tense. So the mission when, now, the mission who? Not just Joshua, but you and this people. What is the mission? It spills over into the message we're going to look at in a moment. But the message and the mission is clear. It's that you're going to take and have and get all this land. How? Well, we're going to do this together. God is giving them the land. He's charting the path. He's paving the way. He's opening the doors. The battle belongs to the Lord. And Joshua and the people are called to take action and live by faith and move forward in conquest, in battle, and in obedience. And this is really important for us to see and understand. And as we think about our mission as believers, it is not to conquer a land or enter a physical promised land, but we do have a mission. What is our mission as believers in Jesus Christ? Well, it's to love God and love our neighbors, to be His witness, His ambassador, to spread and share the message of His love, to walk with God, to grow in obedience to the Lord, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, to train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to fill the earth and subdue it, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Those are just some of the aspects of God's mission for believers. And how do we fulfill this mission? Just like Joshua, just like the people of Israel, we are mobilized and motivated and empowered by God's almighty power. He has called us. He is faithful. He is with us. He will do it. And we are called to work and labor and serve and pray and plan and move and go and give actively, sacrificially, intentionally. You see how those things fit together. Philippians 2 says it this way, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Hebrews 12 says it this way, "Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." God is working. He has promised, He has power, He has called us to work alongside Him, to labor, to act, to serve for His glory. Now we have a tendency, we have a temptation, excuse me, to fall into one of two ditches here. One, on the one hand, we may throw our hands up in the air, kick back and say, "God's going to do it. I'll just wait here to see what happens." That mindset can lead to apathy and laziness and cynicism and stagnation. The other end of the spectrum is thinking that it's all up to us and we're running around like crazy in a frenzy. We're working all the angles, but there's very little prayer, there's very little faith, there's very little fellowship with God, and this can lead to burnout and resentment and breakdown. As we think about the conquest of Joshua and the people of Israel, as we think about our Christian lives, we have to remember that every part of God's mission in our lives is rooted in our union with Jesus Christ. He is the vine, we're the branches. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. With Him, and with the faith of a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, "Be moved." So how in your life do you need to embrace God's mission with trust and action, with faith and with freedom? How do you need to embrace God's mission in your life by taking action and moving forward in obedience, on mission, in repentance, in faith, in sacrifice? Where do you need to, maybe there's plenty of activity in your life and you're doing all these really good things, but there's really no prayer and no power and no presence from God. Repent of your self-reliance and rest in the Lord. The mission for Joshua and the people of Israel was to take the promised land, to go in. "I'm giving it to you, now go in and take it." And God's called us to do the same in sanctification and growth and life. He is working His wonderful power in us, and we're called to live by faith. The last thing we see from this passage is the message. We've seen the man, the mission, and the message. Joshua is clearly the man to lead God's people. The mission, the objective is clear. Now, what is the message? What is the exhortation and the encouragement, the comfort and the challenge? It's fear not and fear not. Verses 3 and 4. The message begins with everything, everywhere. It is all yours. The promise of the land isn't new. It's been part of Israel's hope for generations. The details are explicitly laid out in Numbers 34 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. But it's recapped and reviewed here, and the imagery and the wording is so powerful. Everywhere you walk, every step you take, it's yours. And think about that message, how beautiful that message is. It's an expression of the abundant, overflowing generosity of God. Remember, this land was a gift. It was not earned by God's people. It wasn't deserved. They were not entitled to it because of their actions. It was a gift given by God's gracious promise. And as we think about ourselves, this message applies to us. The reality of our redemption, the fellowship of the Spirit, hope of heaven, joy of our salvation, union with Christ, communion with others, they're all abundant, overwhelming, unearned, extravagant, everything, everywhere, gifts from Almighty God which flow from His generous heart. The message was everything, everywhere. It's also, no one shall stand against you. Look at verse 5. This is a precious promise from God to Joshua. Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you. And it's as if Joshua said, well, what does that mean, God? Well, it means I'll be with you the same way that I was with Moses. This is a precious promise tied to a real person in time and space. Joshua, you know how I was with Moses, right? He was called the friend of God. I welcomed him to my table. I showed him a glimpse of my glory on the mountain. I led him and guided him and strengthened him and helped him and forgave him and sustained him. And even when he was opposed by the people and his own brother and sister, I stood beside him. In that same way, Joshua, I'm going to stand beside you. No one shall stand against you. And it says also in verse 5, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. There are so many things that we think we need in life. Bottom line, at the end of the day, what could possibly be more precious and powerful than this promise from Almighty and everlasting God? I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. The New Testament equivalent to this promise is found in Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So the message is, everything, everywhere, no one shall stand against you. I will be with you and be strong and courageous. We see it in verse 6 and following. Be strong and courageous. This is the attitude that Joshua should possess. Why? Because of his calling. It says it, be strong and courageous because you will lead this people and cause them to inherit this land. They're going to need you, Joshua, to lead them with courage and strength while depending upon God. And notice how God called Joshua to lead, to be strong and courageous. We see it in verses 7 through 9. It's interesting. God does not say, be strong and courageous and lead this people into the land because of all your special forces military training. He doesn't say, lead them into battle because of your exemplary work at the military war college. Joshua was a military leader. His experience would certainly be important. But God makes it clear that his experience and his gifts and his resume and his pedigree, those are not the main things. There is, however, a link to his lifestyle and their character and the law of God. Look at what it says in verse 7. Being careful to do all the law that Moses commanded you. So you see this message, take courage, take hope, be strong, be courageous in and through the law and word of God. Be careful to do all according to all the law. Remember the preface to the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Obedience to God and His word is a reflection of and response of the grace of God. It's not transactional, but relational. God's saying, your courage, your strength comes from me, from my promises, from my presence, and it blossoms and flourishes in obedience to my commandments. And so he says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Yes, they were to stick to the mission of conquering and possessing the promised land, but they were also to stick to the mission and stay on track with God's word. Don't divert from it to the right or to the left. It says also in the passage that you may have good success. It literally says that you may act wisely, that you may flourish, that you may prosper. And this is not a prosperity gospel message. It's simply a reality that God's good purpose and plans for us flow through and flourish in obedience to His commandments. And sometimes obedience is hard. And sometimes there are consequences for doing what is right because we live in a wicked and perverse generation. But God's way is still and always has been the way of life. He goes on to say, this book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. So speak of God's Word. Think of God's Word. Let it be in your heart and in your mind, that you may be careful to do what is written in it. It reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words that I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them at every stage, in every season, in every corner of your life. And as God's people, as Joshua led the people of God into the promised land, the charge, the calling was to speak God's word and write God's word on your heart and sing it and pray it and memorize it and read it and listen to it and meditate on it. Beloved, do you see the message? Fear not. Take courage, be strong and courageous. I am with you, and my word and my law and my commandments, filtered through my love and grace, are the powerhouse and the engine for your life. So, a couple application questions. One, how are you feeding on the Word of God in your life? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you teaching it to your children? Are you actively, regularly participating in church, the preaching of the word, the sacraments, the prayers? Those are means of grace. They're the ways that God grows us and strengthens us. A simple and small example of this is attending Sunday school. It's an opportunity for you to continue to lean into and grow in the Lord. How are you feeding on the Word of God in your life? If you have no diet of God's Word, you can't expect to grow as a Christian. Secondly, as you think about this commandment to Joshua and the people of Israel to remember the law and speak the law and meditate on the law that they may keep it, are there areas in your life where you are simply ignoring God's Word and God's commandments? Though we'd never say it out loud, or I doubt we would, it's easy for us to back into thoughts and ideas and temptations where we think, I get a free pass here because I deserve this, or I'm going through a really hard season in life, or you don't know what I'm going through, or you just don't understand. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as we fear the Lord, we take His word and His ways seriously. It's part of the way we grow in Him, and His perfect love casts out fear in our lives. And I love how this passage ends. The message is simple. Have I not commanded you? Didn't I tell you? Don't you remember? Don't you know? Don't forget this, Joshua. You are the man for this mission, and it is my message. My message is clear. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and courageous in the Lord your God. I will be with you wherever you go. So as we begin our journey through the book of Joshua together, as we think about sanctification, growth, transformation, I want to encourage and exhort you. I want to comfort and challenge you in the Lord. Don't be afraid. He's right here with us. And don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. because Jesus Christ is our faithful Savior. And He is not only with us, He is our sympathetic and compassionate High Priest. And He has paved the way, He has charted the course, He has blazed the trail for us to have forgiveness of our sins and fellowship with God and freedom with God and eternal life. And so whatever you're facing, the opportunities, the blessings, the hurdles, the heartaches, whatever fears are in your heart, whatever things are paralyzing you, hear God say, don't be afraid, and don't be afraid, God is with us. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your Word, its power. We thank You that though these words were written thousands of years ago, they still speak powerfully into our hearts and into our lives. And we pray that You would help us with our fears, that You would help us to live on mission, to remember Your message, that You are with us, that we shouldn't be afraid, but even in our fears, You move toward us in compassion and kindness. Help us to love You and to love others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. God bless you, and hopefully we'll be together in person next week.